So here's one example, and this is a really common one. The woman complains, "We don't communicate." And the man says, "We do. I don't know what you're, I tell you everything. I don't know what you're frustrated about." For her, communication means you tell me everything that's going on in your everyday life, because talk is the glue that holds a relationship together. For him, communication means if we have a problem, we're going to talk about it. We don't have a problem, so there's no need to talk. Here's another scenario that plays itself out all around the country and is reactions to my book, You Just Didn't Understand, indicate all around the world. A woman tells a man about a problem, something that happened at work, something that happened in a relationship with a friend, and he starts telling her how to solve the problem. She's annoyed. She protests, "I don't need you to tell me how to solve the problem. I just want you to listen." And he's annoyed. "Why do you want to talk about the problem if you don't want to do anything about it?" Neither can really figure out why the other one is behaving in that strange way. If you understand that for women, talk is the glue that holds a relationship together, then he can understand why she wants to talk about the problem. It's a feeling that you're not alone as you go through your day. It's a feeling that somebody cares what happened during your day. It's a feeling that somebody is interested enough to listen, because listening is a show of caring in itself. When she understands that he doesn't do this kind of talk, and that's why he thinks that she's looking for a solution, otherwise why would she tell him, then she can be perhaps less frustrated by his offering a solution, if he does, and he can be less frustrated by her wanting to talk about a problem when she doesn't want a solution. And either of those ways of approaching it can be part of a solution. But without understanding the source of those differences, it's really hard to find a way through that quagmire. This even explains why men don't like to stop and ask for directions. For many women, if you're driving in a car, you don't know where you're going, and you stop and ask somebody directions, you make a fleeting connection to a stranger, you get where you're going, and you really haven't lost anything. For many men, when you stop and ask directions, you're saying to a stranger, "I'm lost. I need your help. Can you help me?" So you're putting yourself in a one-down position to a stranger, and that's very uncomfortable, because men have learned over time that if you allow yourself to be put in a one-down position, you're going to end up being pushed around, and your freedom really is compromised. And so it becomes a fairly automatic response to avoid being put in a one-down position. In that perspective, it makes sense to spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever it takes to find your own way. I should point out here that many men have commented to me, "Well, that's really not it at all. The reason I don't stop and ask for directions is because the person I'm asking probably doesn't know either. He's going to tell me the wrong thing." And clearly there's some truth to that. But what interests me is that I have never had a woman say to me, "Well, if I ask somebody and he doesn't know, he won't want to admit he doesn't know, and he's going to tell me the wrong thing." And yet I've had many men tell me that. And so that, too, seems to reflect this difference between how women and men approach everyday encounters, that men are more likely to assume that somebody who doesn't know the answer will not want to put themselves in a one-down position by admitting they don't know. And so they're much more likely to say something rather than make themselves look bad that way. And in fact, I once received a letter from a reader of You Just Didn't Understand. She was a physician. And she said she had gotten a poor evaluation while she was in her residency program. She was the only woman in the program. And when she asked her supervising physician why, he said, "Well, you don't know as much as the others." And she said, "What gives you that impression?" And he said, "Well, you ask so many questions." She was sure it wasn't that she knew less, but that when she didn't know something, she asked, and that the men in the group, when they didn't know something, didn't ask. It's not clear that one way is the right way and the other way is the wrong way. We can all think of situations where it would make sense not to let on if you don't know. And the men in that group were more aware of that, that if they didn't ask, then their ignorance would not be revealed. On the other hand, there are situations where it makes sense to ask, and perhaps if you were the patient, you would rather that the resident asked rather than pretending to know, for example, the proper dosage for a medicine he's about to administer.